This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Eagles defense is right back out there having to defend a lot more plays here. They can just run some basic execution.
Deami Brown with his speed on the cross. Brown runs into DeGene. Ball is out. Eagles recover. Reed Blankenship came up with it for Philadelphia.
Unbelievable by Bond with the peanut punch with DeGene on the assist.
This year, Pat Dolan, our video guy, got me every peanut punch that he forced a fumble with his entire career, and we watched that on a loop as coaches, and then we showed that to the players as well. But you know, so we emphasize the crap out of it.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
So that was Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. How about that? I was on the sideline for every single peanut punch of Charles Tillman's career with the Bears. I wasn't around for his Panthers career at the tail end, but with the Bears, I witnessed it on a loop. That's a lot of exciting action because the Bears dominated defensively while Peanut was here. They had Urlacher and Briggs. Oh, man, so many talented players. Early on, Agunlia was the pass rusher, and then Julius Peppers. That had to have been a fun video. All right, we're here until 2 o'clock. Let's talk some football with one of the experts. I adore Stacey Dales. She does such a terrific job at NFL Network. She was in Philadelphia last week, and Stacey now joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. But before I start talking about what transpired last week and what you think is going to happen next week in the Super Bowl, as a former big-time college basketball player at Oklahoma and then during your WNBA career, did you ever get cut-ups of a specific play by a specific player and just watch every single one of those plays to try and make yourself better?
That's a good question, Zach. When I was at Oklahoma, we watched a ton of Princeton basketball because they were sort of at the time catalysts for, you know, running this movement motion offense. And so my college coach incorporated quite a bit of it. So we studied things that we did. And, you know, as it relates to the Eagles, I think as we saw with their 4 turnovers to advance to the Super Bowl, I think every one of those, including a special teams turnover, resulted because of a peanut punch, you know, knockout. So, you know, you do learn the things that you practice. We also ran the triangle offense in college, and that was a Phil Jackson thing. And I remember my college coach going to spend time with Phil Jackson. So Sherry Cole, you know, she did the work to teach us what she wanted us to do. And she went to the experts that did it and then became one herself. So I think it's good coaching. I mean, like that, and that's the point, right? When you want to do stuff that Phil Jackson did with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, you go to Phil Jackson, and then you kind of study what they did and incorporate it into who you are. So that's what we're seeing with the Eagles. Nothing is too shallow. I think I love that as well, Zach. Like, players that are at this stage, right, that are headed to the Super Bowl, their teams are so tightly connected and tightly wound, and they have little nuances and innuendos in their building of positivity that none of us really see. And then you hear Nick Sirianni share that they watch every one of Charles Tillman's, incredible moments on the football field. So that's just really good coaching, and I'm not surprised because they are a team riddled with great coaches.
You know, it's funny, as I hear you say that, when you think about both the Chiefs and the Eagles, right, all season long, people have been poking holes at what they can't do, right? When it came to the Chiefs, it was all about, you know, this team, they're always in these tight games and they're getting lucky. There's one play here or there, one call here or there, and they end up winning. And then with the Eagles, it's a list of all the things Jalen Hurts can't do rather than all the things they do as a team to win. Mm-hmm. What stands out to you?
Well, just as you said, I mean, you have to learn how to win. I think a lot of people get confused with the notion that winning just comes to talent, right? Well, that's not the case. Winning comes to the right formulas. It comes to the right strategy, the right plan. And obviously, you do have to have talented players. And, I mean, we're seeing a Patrick Mahomes that is, running a dynasty in Kansas City. Not unlike Tom Brady did in New England. And that is clear and evident. But you have to have the right pieces and you have to learn how to win games. And that's what both of these teams do, and that's why they're here. They both also have really good defenses, and their defenses inherently believe that they're as good as their offense. I know that sounds crazy, but listen, I've covered the Chiefs this year, and when I've spoken to Trent McDuffie or listened to him talk about the way that they operate Steve Spagnuolo's defense, he literally said in a production meeting I was in this year, Zach, that we believe it's on us to win games. We know who we have on the other side offensively. And at the same token, we believe if we lose a game, we're the ones responsible because we've got the guy on the other side. And so I would argue that's the very same approach and mindset from the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, they're the number one defense in football under Vic Fangio. So what we're going to see next week on display is two well-oiled, fine-tuned machines defensively. Both of these teams are. And whoever has the fewest mistakes is going to win this football game. And I anticipate, just like Super Bowl 57, when these two teams battled it out and the Chiefs won, it's going to come down to a close one once again. But when you consider Patrick Mahomes versus Jalen Hurts, people can criticize Jalen Hurts all they want, but as Nick Sirianni consistently says, all he does is win, and winning is a learned behavior, and the Philadelphia Eagles do it. And by the way, I want to express condolences, Zach, because what we're seeing this week, I've reached out to a couple people, but what happened in Philadelphia is just catastrophically horrific, and it's hard to kind of get excited about things right now when you're seeing what's happening in our country. And I don't think that, I would remiss not to say that as I speak about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, the plane crash yesterday. Our prayers and thoughts go out to those that were involved in the families of those that passed away. Zach Zaidman here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, talking some football with Stacey Dales. You mentioned Nick Sirianni, and we can go in a lot of different directions here, but I think one of the reasons that I want to hit on Sirianni, because the Bears just hired a coach, right? And I think back to when Sirianni had his introductory press conference, and he was wildly panned in Philadelphia because you remember it, right? He was talking about watering flowers, and I think he was trying to make the analogy that, you're just trying to plant seeds and have them grow, right? He was trying to say that. It didn't quite come out that way. And he looked clunky, looked like he'd never, ever done an interview. And I know people there were thinking, oh, my goodness, what has Howie Roseman done here handing the franchise over to this guy, right? And Ben Johnson comes in last week, takes over the Bears, and was flawless, right? His introductory presser was pristine. And I made this point earlier. To me, these introductory pressers, it's like preseason football. It's not a true indicator of what's to come. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. I mean, it's not a true indicator because, you know, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, you got to start making some pudding. And Dan Campbell, we were all kind of shocked by his press conference when he took over as Lions coach. He's going to take knee caps off, this and that. And one thing I know, though, to be true is regardless of how clunky Nick's press conference was, and I do recall it. And by the way, I love Nick Sirianni. When I saw him on the field for the NFC Championship, he came over and there was a huge injury. It was Cam Jurgens' injury, and he's like, he's going to be a game-time decision. And so it became a story that I reported on all day with Landon Dickerson. And all he wanted to do is talk hoops with me, Zach. I mean, he didn't want to talk football. We spent 15 minutes on the field 6 hours before kickoff, 5 hours, whatever it was, talking about his niece. I think it's his niece, Gianna Sirianni. Mm-hmm. She's like a seventh grader playing on the varsity team. And she had the night before had 30. That's all Nick wanted to talk about. This guy's awesome, man. This guy is freaking awesome. And so, like, you go back and you think about his press conference. He's one of the most long-winded coaches, which isn't a bad thing. He just talks. Like, I did him pregame on camera, and typically the NFL Network wants a minute, right? If I get a coach on game day morning, they want about a minute. Well, we always go kind of a minute 20, whatever it may be. And I talked to the PR folks. Bob Lang is one of the best ever in the business. And he kind of wanted an idea of what I was going to rip through. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to hit Jalen pretty quick. I'm going to hit Saquon pretty quick. You know, I might have to ask you about Cam Jurgens on camera. And then, you know, you're playing a pretty damn good phenom on the other side. So there's four thoughts there, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, Stacey's going to go long, right? but he didn't, man. He was spot on because we set it all up and he was fantastic. And what I know to be true about him as I say all that is he's an amazing leader. And he finds ways to motivate his players. And he finds ways to make details and fundamentals important to his players. And he will list through, he will work through with you on a list of every statistical category they want to win. This guy is, he loves to sit in the lab and work. And that's what Ben Johnson's going to do. That's what Ben Johnson's going to do. I think they're different styles of leaders, and that's okay, right? There's going to be different styles of leaders that we have in life and in sport. You know, Andy Reid motivates differently than Nick Sirianni. I mean, there's many reasons for that. Vic Fangio motivates differently than Steve Spagnuolo, but they extract great things out of their players because they're great teachers and they're really good leaders. And that's what Nick is. And I think Ben Johnson is going to be that. And so while the proof's in the pudding, I think that there's going to be a very strategic plan from Ryan Poles in terms of personnel and what his head coach wants in Ben Johnson moving forward to get this thing going in the better direction.
Yeah, you're a good person to ask about this because you've spent so much time in Detroit covering the Lions during their ascent here. And you know those guys very well, whether it's Dan Campbell, the head coach, Ben Johnson when he was the offensive coordinator, Brad Holmes, the GM. How much input did, to your knowledge, did Ben Johnson have with Brad Holmes in terms of getting the talent that they needed to run the kind of offense that he wanted to run?
I said this before, Zach. I don't know if it's input. Like, for instance, if I said, you know, I want to go get Za'Darius Smith, what do you think about this? Like, did he go to Aaron Glenn and say, I'm sure he did. What do you think about Za'Darius? That would be a personnel idea. But in terms of the grand scheme, I think for Ben Johnson, it would be more, you know, what kind of players are going to be able to execute what you want to do, which is to be have great multiplicity, have great disguise, show one thing while you're doing another, speed, speed, speed. Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, two of the fastest players in the National Football League, and then deploy this thing around the quarterback skill set. And so that's what they did. Brad Holmes went and got in the first round Jahmyr Gibbs, and everybody scratched their head. Why would you do that? Well, he turned out to be one of the most dynamic backs in the league, I would argue, with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, who's been the best this year. So, you know, that was a really good personnel decision to complement what Ben wanted to do offensively. And so what I think will happen in Chicago, as I say that, is, you know, the sort of relationship between Ryan Poles and his personnel department and then Ben and the types of players that he wants. And that goes for Dennis Allen as well. Dennis Allen loves to sack quarterbacks. He loves rushing coverage. That's go ask Cam Jordan from New Orleans. Like, he wants to affect the quarterback. That is his number one priority. And they believe in their philosophy that if they affect the quarterback, coverage will come as a complement to that. So I think those types of players that Dennis likes to coach and those types of players Ben likes to coach are going to be the ones that Ryan Poles has to go out and get for them. And that's kind of like what I see as the model that's happened in Detroit. But I certainly hope that for Bears fans and for the Bears, they target their offensive line as a must priority in this upcoming draft and in free agency.
Stacey Dales is with us from NFL Network on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You briefly mentioned Dennis Allen and his philosophy defensively. In your dealings with him over the years, because he used to be the head coach with the Raiders as well as the head coach with the Saints, what type of leader is he? What's his personality like? And knowing what you know about the leaders in the locker room from a defensive standpoint with the Bears, how's that going to mesh?
Well, Dennis Allen has always struck me and presented to me as extremely meticulous and buttoned up. I mean, his tie ain't going to be out of place. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but, you know, he's his shirt's always going to be tucked in and everything's going to be lined up. Like, there won't be anything. It's not going to be messy with him. Everything's going to be a really clean procedure with him. And I think he's going to get the most out of each position group. You know, I think Bears fans should be excited for what we saw. He spent so long in New Orleans with DeMario Davis, who's one of the most underrated and greatest at his position ever as a linebacker. I think you're going to see, you know, you've got Edmonds and you've got TJ Edwards, really good linebacker core, widely respected in the NFL. Dennis Allen, while he loves to get to the passer and create takeaways on the back end, those linebackers are really important in his scheme, and I think he's got a couple good ones that he's going to do some interesting things with. So I just think he's pretty buttoned up. I think this was a really good decision by the organization because I have a lot of respect for him, and I know that he is widely respected around the NFL, especially those who have to coordinate against him on the offensive side.
Stacey, when it comes to the NFC North, can we zoom out a little bit? Because you spent so much time with each of these teams. And I was telling Hub Arkish this in our last segment. You know, we tend to watch the Bears here in Chicago with blinders on. We just look at the Bears and we fail to see how they fit in when it comes to the rest of the division. And the division has changed. I mean, I think when you look at the Lions and all the coaches that they've lost, now they may be better personnel-wise because of all the injured defenders that will return next year, but they lost some heavyweight assistants around Dan Campbell.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, and Bears got a couple of them, right? Randall L., Barrett, like, I think I'm missing another one, but it's a blessing and curse to have success in the NFL because sometimes it's just one and done. No team is ever the same. So, you know, even these, that's why it's a marvel at what the Chiefs are doing. I mean, they're going for their third straight Super Bowl, which has never happened in terms of victories. It's extremely hard to get to this point, and it's because the team changes so drastically from offseason to regular season every single year. So it'll be interesting to see how Dan Campbell and that group kind of recoil. I like, they kept a lot of things internal as far as their coach promotions. Mm-hmm. So that's a really positive thing, and I expected them to do that. You know, I think it's a tough division for Ben Johnson to say he wanted to stay here. This is exactly where he wanted to be because he loves this division because of how competitive it is. He's up for the challenge. But it's really good, and injuries always play a part of it. You know, for instance, we're going to see a Vikings team next year that we are now going to have a quarterback controversy again. Is Sam Darnold going to retain his role, or is J.J. McCarthy going to come back from that injury and take over the reins for Kevin O'Connell. It was going to be a controversy during training camp heading into this season. Sam kind of wowed everybody, and then the playoffs happened. And so it's going to be a storyline for them moving forward. Brian Flores is still there, so that bodes well for continuity for them defensively. And then in Green Bay, Jeff Hafley goes into his second year, and they need better pass rush. I think, like, you're seeing this division, Zach, the ability to rush the passer, which is what the Vikings did, is the one thing these three other teams consistently weren't always able to do. And that's where the North, to me, has to get better, because they all got bumped in the playoffs. And I think that's got to be a huge focus. And for the Bears, it's really both sides of the football in the trenches.
Yeah, what do you think is a realistic standard of improvement for the Bears next season?
Well, I think a realistic standard of improvement for me is that number one is quarterback efficiency, because they have minus, like, the uncertainty of their offensive line. And here's why I'm saying that. It's no disrespect to the players here. The two best offensive lines in football, and, you know, there's a couple teams that would argue, Detroit and Philadelphia this year. But the Eagles currently have two first-rounders, starters, two second-round starters, and then Jordan Mailata, who's just a freak. Like, he was a seventh-rounder. Jeff Stoutland found him down in Florida. The guy had never played football before, from Australia, I believe. Sorry if it's New Zealand. I'm pretty sure he's an Aussie. But, two first-rounders, two second-rounders. Now I'd go to Detroit. Four first-round starters, and I believe a third-rounder in Graham Glasgow. So, your entire offensive line is composed of first round NFL chosen linemen. And so those are two teams that absolutely dominated up front for their offenses this year. And that's why I keep going back to the line. But an improvement for me would be Caleb Williams playing efficiently and freely. And that's what, you know, Ben Johnson, I'm going to use this term probably a lot this offseason, unlocking the brain of Caleb Williams to play free, to have fun, and to get to his reads. Simple. And I think if they can do that, they'll have success offensively. Defensively, I think their secondary, even last year, was one of the best in the NFL. I think Dennis Allen can kind of unlock that group as well. But they were good. You know, under Matt Eberflus, they did a pretty good job defensively. So I think you just want to see a little bit more pass rush, and hopefully the personnel decisions speak to that.
I want to see the Bears be a little bit more aggressive, both sides of the ball. I think if there was something that defined them during the Matt Eberflus era, other than the record, it's that they played not to lose. When you play not to lose, you're not playing to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when I look at what makes Detroit a team that a lot of the other teams now in the NFL want to follow, and the reason that Ben Johnson is here is he goes for it, right? They don't sit back. They went for it in Detroit. And then when I think of Dennis Allen, I also think, yes, he's buttoned up, straight-laced. That's good, because I don't think you're going to have players in the middle of a game with the game on the line talking to fans while a ball is sailing over the guy's head that leads to what transpired in Washington. And there's going to be a consequence for that. Not just a consequence for that action, but if you even take a second to think about doing what Tyreek Stevenson did, you know you're going to be in trouble. And I don't think there was a consequence for that kind of behavior.
I think the Tyreek Stevenson thing really pissed you off, Zach.
I don't think I was the only one. I think it destroyed a season.
It ironically, against the Commanders, who, to your point, are super aggressive. They went for it on fourth down more than the Lions, if you can believe it. They were the best fourth down team with a rookie quarterback in the NFL. So, the Tyreek Stevenson thing, I think in retrospect, when you look at it, should have been handled differently in terms of, you know, like, he was literally, that's discipline. So he had a very undisciplined moment where, you know, like, you don't not only play through the whistle, but, like, you have blinders on. You should have blinders on when it comes to fan engagement or sort of those types of antics. And Dennis Allen is not going to stand for that. I will tell you that. Like, he simply won't. I don't expect it to happen again because I expect discipline to be, you know, and I hesitate because I think Matt Eberflus is a really good defensive play caller and he's going to go to Dallas and we'll see what he does there. But it's going to be a different look, maybe the same base, but a different look, I think, for the Bears this year. I think that Ben Johnson's going to set the table and tone of discipline, but have a lot of fun. And one thing that gets underlooked when it comes to him is he loves to have fun. He loves his players to have fun. I mean, you look, can call the gimmicky plays or whatever you want. They worked in Detroit because there was a trust factor, and it'll be up to him to develop that trust factor in Chicago with Caleb Williams, but get him playing efficiently first and foremost.
NFL Network, Stacey Dales. Have I missed anything? Thank you for spending all this time with us on this Saturday. But I didn't ask you any real basketball questions other than at the top in terms of the things that help make you better video-wise. But I'm not going to go Nick Sirianni on you. But is there anything that you feel like you need, you feel compelled to talk about in any of the other sports?
Not really, just because I have blinders on right now, Zach. I'm actually getting ready to leave shortly for the Super Bowl, and it is such a grind when we're there. We'll be in New Orleans for 8 days or whatever it is, and I mean, you know me, like it's head down and go to work, and that's how it always is. But hopefully, we'll have a great game. It'll be a close game. It's kind of what we all expected as the season sort of went into this tailspin, and I just. Yeah, you know, my heart's kind of all over the place right now just because of what's been going on in the air in this country, and I'm just like praying for those people quite a bit. So football is wonderful, but you know, this world is it's something else, and the human condition is important.
Well said, Stacey. Thank you so much. Best of luck next week. We'll be watching every single day on NFL Network as you help count down the days to the Super Bowl Sunday between Kansas City and Philadelphia. Really appreciate your time.
You got it.
Stacey Dales from NFL Network. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Your phone calls next as we take you all the way up to 2 o'clock here on The Score.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Hoyer's been tremendously creative here in getting his 2025 team up to the level of being a championship contender, and he's not done yet. We're talking about Bregman, we're talking about Cease, we're talking about a closer named Robert Suarez with San Diego. These are all things that they're still on the table, still being talked about.
The voice of Bruce Levine, Score Insider, always giving us the latest tidbits happening around Major League Baseball. That's the thing about the Cubs. I know you sit here and you think to yourself, you know, yeah, getting Kyle Tucker was great. And going out and getting Ryan Pressly was great. But and they get John Birdie, they've gotten Matthew Boyd, a couple of catchers, all this kind of stuff. And you're thinking, look at what the Dodgers are doing. Look at what the Mets did. Look what the Phillies are doing. Look what the Braves are doing. And now you sit there and you're like, there's more to do. There's more to do if you're the Cubs. And I would agree. Can they do more? Absolutely. Will they? I think they will. It might not be on the scale that you want. But I think realistically, baseball has changed from this standpoint. By the way, Zach Zaidman here until 2 o'clock, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Feel free to join us. When you do call in, the first voice you're going to hear is that of the executive producer on the other side of the partition, Sean Sears. Great guy. Say hi to Sean. Thank him for all the hard work that he does. I know I do. This show's not possible unless he's helping us blast through the speakers of your radio as well as all of your smart devices, all the great guests, all that kind of stuff. It's all because of Sean. Anyway, the point is, baseball's changed. And I think, you know, owners are kind of looking at it a little bit differently. In the National League Central in particular, the division's wide open. So I think you look at it and you start saying, all right, St. Louis is rebuilding. There's no way Milwaukee can be as good. And I know, like, the Brewers have gone through this unprecedented run, right? Of just no matter who they lose, they always find themselves at the top of the division. I just can't, you cannot lose all these guys year in, year out and continue to be. They lost their closer, Devin Williams, right? They traded him to the Yankees. Willie Adames was a big piece of the Brewers' offense, a big piece of the leadership aspect inside that clubhouse. He leaves via free agency for San Francisco. So, yes, they will have good players to replace those guys, but they're not. You can't lose first Josh Hader and then Devin Williams and just all of a sudden be as good as you were. You just can't. And I just find it hard to believe that they're going to have a shortstop next year who provides the kind of leadership and offensive prowess that they got from Willie Adames. That's not to say that they won't have someone become that guy eventually. It's not going to happen next year. I don't know what Pittsburgh is doing as great as Paul Skeens is. They're not in the same conversation with the other teams in the NL Central. And Cincinnati, it's a lot of young talent there. And they added Brady Singer to the mix now. They were banged up last year. But there's a lot of young talent. And now they've made their Joe Maddon hire, right? Adding Terry Francona on as the skipper. So what that tells me is they believe they're ready. And Francona doesn't take that job unless he believes they're ready. Kind of like what Joe Maddon did here in 2015. So that being said, I think Cincinnati's ready to take that next step as a baseball club. That's the team that I'm keeping my eye on. And I think with the Cubs, here's what I keep asking myself. Have they done enough? Because when you think about what sunk this team the last couple of years, because they were right there, final month. What sunk this team? A variety of different things. One, too many stretches over the course of the season, long stretches in which the offense is invisible and goes south, right? It happened last year for a two-month stretch. Most of it coincided, not surprisingly, with Cody Bellinger being banged up. They were never able to kind of recover once he got hurt. So they went out and they upgraded the offense and the defense that Cody Bellinger gave them, which you don't think about. This is the way I look at it. That's what Kyle Tucker brings. Very quietly, his numbers are top 10 in all the major categories, right? Like that's an upgrade. He's an outstanding defensive player. Defense was an issue at some points. That's why Seiya Suzuki is a designated hitter. And I don't know if he loves that, but I know that offensively, it doesn't impact him being a DH. So it's about winning, right? What gives you the best chance to win the most games? Now, hopefully, Pete Crow Armstrong is able to give you two halves of a season like the second half of last year. Hopefully, Michael Busch can continue to progress. It's a terrific season by Michael Busch at the plate last year and out in the field. Dansby Swanson coming off the surgery, is going to be healthy. Battled through a lot of stuff last year, and the numbers showed it. He wasn't Dansby Swanson. Ian Happ. I feel like by the end of the year, for as much criticism as Ian Happ takes, the numbers are always there. The numbers are always there. So now you start to take a look at third base, which they really didn't get much last year. Christopher Morel early on in the year wasn't giving them what they needed at that position offensively, and Isak Paredes didn't give him that offensively either. For now, Matt Shaw is that guy. Man, you'd love to have Alex Bregman. I don't know if they can make it happen. Because again, here's the other thing that people have to think about. This is the way owners think, other than the Dodgers, for a variety of different reasons. But I think what the owners see is you have an extra team in the playoffs now, right? So what do I have to do to get into the playoffs? Once I'm there, and usually it'll take, with the extra playoff spot? Somewhere between what, 87 to 90 wins, right? If you get that, chances are you're in the playoffs. What can I do to get there? Because once I'm in the playoffs, everything changes. In a short series, it changes. You can have all the rock stars the Dodgers have, all the rock stars the Yankees have, but who's hot at that point? You don't have to agree with it, but this is the way I think owners look at it. Other than LA with the Dodgers and in New York, not with the Yankees now, with the Mets and Steve Cohen and what he's done there. But these owners, they rely on their baseball people. They put the metrics into the computer. And Theo used to say this when he was here, you can't pay people for what they've done in the past. You have to pay for what they are going to do for you going forward. And you plug in Alex Bregman's numbers, his age, and all that kind of stuff, and that changes the dynamic. He might have a different opinion of that. But the teams look at the metrics. Now, the argument would be, well, you're the Cubs. You can spend, right? The same way the Dodgers do, although I don't think many teams can spend that way. But you can spend more. My argument to that would be, there, and this is where baseball is different than many of the other sports, there's no rule that says you stop building your team once the season starts. So if you're good and you really come out of the gates flying and you put yourself in a position where you feel like something special could happen here, you can add on. The Cubs are in the unique position that many other teams aren't in Major League Baseball, where they can add and continue to tweak their team going forward. So that's why I wouldn't be that concerned right now. The division is there for the taking. I do think the Cubs will make some more moves before the season starts to give themselves the best opportunity to be the lead dog in that race for the National League Central. But again, I think when I zoom out and I take a look at how these most of these teams are operating now, they're just trying to do, and it's no fun talking about this because it's more of a business thing. What can I do to get into the playoffs by being as economical as possible to get there because of that extra spot and build a team that's good enough in a short series to take advantage? That's it. That's why I think you're seeing some of these moves. What's frustrating is there are a whole bunch of teams that don't do anything. And that's not fair to everybody else. Not fair to the players, not fair to fans. You know what the markets are. You see them. These teams that are consistently bad year in, year out. The Cubs are not one of those teams. So I think the Cubs today are better than when last season ended. Now the question becomes, how much better? Is that enough based on what I mentioned happened in Milwaukee, the Cardinals kind of rebuilding? Based on those two things, do the Cubs have enough right now today to win the NL Central? I think they do, but I'd like to see them do a little bit more to take advantage of that. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman with you until 2 o'clock on the...
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Score.
Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Our final few moments here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're taking you all the way up until 2 o'clock. I want to thank my executive producer, Sean Sears, for helping make things run so smoothly today. We started at 11, had so many different guests. We talked football with Brad Biggs. We went down to New Orleans and got the latest on Dennis Allen, found out a little bit about what he's about, what the Bears' new defensive coordinator is going to bring to Halas Hall. Had a really long and entertaining and informative and compelling chat with Boog Shambi on the show. Hub Arkish joined us and talked some football, and no one's better when it comes to the landscape of the National Football League than NFL Network Stacey Dale. She joined us as well. You did too at 312-644-6767. All right, I guess this is my last long-form show until the Super Bowl. I'll be around Tuesday night, but by that point, everyone would have given their prediction and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I should give my prediction for the Super Bowl next weekend. I don't know if you guys agree. I think Philadelphia, from top to bottom, is the more talented team. You look at that roster, and from 1 to 53, there's more talent in Philly than there is in Kansas City. However, don't you always have to pick the quarterback that you believe is the best? And there's no one better than Patrick Mahomes. No one. And if the game is going to be tight, and I think it will be, because Kansas City doesn't really turn the ball over, and Philadelphia usually controls the game with its defense and its running game, so you figure it's going to be close, right? And in the close game, what wins for each team? For Kansas City, it's almost always Patrick Mahomes making a big play at the big moment with his legs or with his arm. For Philadelphia, the close game is decided by what Saquon Barkley can do. I'm going with the quarterback, because think how many people have lost bets over the last few years by looking at, and it happened in the AFC Championship game, right? Probably a lot of people thought Buffalo was better than Kansas City, even though the game was being played at Arrowhead. And you go with Buffalo, and yet it's Mahomes who makes the big play at the big moment every single time. And until that changes, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. My other big Super Bowl prediction is for halftime, right? So you got Kendrick Lamar. Oh, yeah. What if he decides to use that stage, the Super Bowl stage, to bury the hatchet with Drake, and all of a sudden, both of them come up together? No chance. No chance. But, man, it would be pretty cool, right? Did I have you even a little bit?
I mean, it'd be interesting.
Something. It would definitely make news.
I can guarantee you no one else is going to make that prediction.
There's no chance it happens. I don't think those guys are ever going to make up. Sean, thank you so much. Thank you for listening. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.